The Mel Kay Show. I'm very excited. My guest today has been on before. He has an amazing book called Killing Kennedy that I suggest everyone read to kind of put in context where we are today and where we would have been had that not happened. And thank you for joining me, Jack Roth.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, you are an encyclopedia of information on many different topics, and I wanted to start with your book, Killing Kennedy, which I believe is very, very important for people to read now, because to understand the context of why Kennedy was murdered and exactly what he was working on that was such a problem for the globalists that I believe captured our nation since. So that's my first question for you. In that time period prior, he was doing a lot of things having to do with nuclear war and weapons. He was doing things having to do with Africa. He was doing things having to do with different places in the world that had he been successful and had he not been assassinated, our world would have been a very different place. So from your work, deep work and research, what was he working on especially in foreign policy at that time, that was such a threat to this global governance idea?
Yeah, there were a couple things. And again, it's that time period, right? So he's elected in 60, 61, takes the oath. He's in there. What happens in 61? Bay of Pigs. He felt his hand was forced by the CIA in that. They lied to him, Alan Dulles specifically. And kind of try to force his hand into providing air support that may very well have led to World War III, or at least some kind of confrontation with Cuba that could have led to nuclear situation. And he was publicly, he took the blame for it. Privately, behind closed doors, he was furious. He realized the CIA was trying to manipulate him, and that's when he fired Alan Dulles. Mm-hmm. So he fires the sacred cow of the Cold Warrior mindset.
Right.
He gets rid of him. Okay. Then 62, you have the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's serious business. And he also now is realizing that millions of people, millions of Americans, as well as Cubans and all over the world could die in a second. That's how close we were to nuclear war. And he realized something needed to change. So at that point, he goes and he realizes he's dealing all the people around him, his joint chiefs, the CIA, all these intelligence agencies. They're hawks. They're cold warriors. And listen, you know, this was the result of World War II and then, you know, communism and the fact that that was the red threat. That was our greatest threat. So these people were staunch, right? Cold warriors. Yeah. So he realizes what he's dealing with. So after the Cuban Missile Crisis, he figures he realized he's got to talk to Khrushchev. And even if it's behind closed doors, right, back channels, we got to ease tensions because this won't work. It won't end well for anyone. And what scared Kennedy was that his joint chiefs and the CIA with Operation Northwoods, which was basically a plan to do a false flag attack on the U.S., I was flying a plane into a building in the United States somehow. Right. And that would cause World War III, war with Cuba, blame it on Castro, annihilate him, get him out. And the collateral damage did not matter to these people. They did not care. Kennedy was appalled by this. So he started going backdoor with Khrushchev. Detente, please, we got to work on this. And Khrushchev agreed with him. They started to develop a friendship, a relationship. And they wanted to do the joint space program. That's when that started to come up. And then also at that time, you had Vietnam. So you had what the Cold Warriors wanted, an escalation in Vietnam. And Kennedy would have McNamara go to Vietnam and do his fact-finding missions and come back and literally, it's true, he would scare Kennedy because he'd be like, we can't win this war. You know, I talked to these French diplomats. The French knew firsthand that you can't win a war like that. Right. The French lost first to the North Vietnamese before we went in. Right. So they knew what it was going to be. It was going to be a quagmire. And so Kennedy's like, I'm getting out of Vietnam. That's not a place we need to be. They did. So now the Cold Warriors are like unacceptable because General Dynamics and Bell Helicopter and all these incredibly powerful organizations that we have lots of stock in are going to make billions of dollars on this war. So don't interfere. And so, and then the other thing that you mentioned, which most people don't know about, and I only found out about fairly recently, was that Kennedy was doing a lot of work in Africa and Central America, and he wanted all African nations to be sovereign. He wanted the United States to help, but not control. He thought they should do their own elections. They should do their own. We're there to help whatever way we can help, but not control and manipulate. The CIA was controlling and manipulating these countries in Africa, Central America, Guatemala. They had the coup in Guatemala in the 50s. This was all to benefit the CIA and the self-interest. Right. They had a lot of stock, the United Fruit Company, all these companies. Right. So it was very much about financial gain and power and control. Kennedy saw all of this happening around him. And he got to the point, I think he changed from 1960 to 1963 and realized that he had to try to do something to stop what was happening. And in his later speeches, like his American University speech, and shortly before he was killed, mm-hmm. He called them out, right? These elitist societies, these elitist people, these, you know, secret societies, these, and that's what they were. Because they were all, you know, they were all like, you know, skull and bones. They all went to Yale, Harvard. They had, it was an elitist, waspy kind of old Americana. All their relatives, they were the robber barons. They were the original robber barons. It was the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the people with the real power in this country,
right,
stemmed from that. And people say, well, Kennedy went to Harvard. Kennedy was Catholic. His father was a bootlegger. And even though they were all criminals, they looked down on his father as a bootlegger. So, and they were civil servants. The Kennedys were more, for whatever reason in their family, they felt they needed to do civil service and they took it seriously.
Right.
So this is what Kennedy was up against. And this is what happened. See, these are the things that happened during his administration. And there were other little things, but these are the main issues that he wanted to stop, all the things that this elitist cabal, including the Allen Dulleses of the world,
yeah,
right, wanted to continue for their own personal gain and power,
yeah,
and control.
Yeah, and it's very disturbing when you look at what also, in my opinion, I think that the coup against America happened the day they shot him, and that we have been in a continual coup and crime after crime, cover up after cover up. Nobody's being held accountable. They got away with it with the phony Warren report. Then they have Dulles and Ford and all these people on the commission. I mean, it was such a farce that they roll out the conspiracy theory thing that still now is blown up finally to be a total farce. But what is important to understand is that Kennedy saw it then. And I think the big picture there also is the military industrial complex and their need for endless wars. And Kennedy kept seeing they're trying to start World War III. They're trying to start World War III, one after another, after another. And he's putting that together. I oftentimes in my speeches, I play his speech from 61 with the press. He also knew that the press was a big problem. And a lot of these things that Kennedy was dealing with then have not been dealt with to this day. And I believe that they pull up these, you brought up Harvard and other, I call it the poison Ivy League, but people have to understand, you know, I think he's probably rolling over thinking that the Kennedy School in Harvard is named after him when it's the opposite of what he hoped for the world and this nation. But right now I've been saying a lot, and I think this is really about him more than anything, is that, you know, Donald Trump says a lot that they aren't after me, they're after you and I'm in the way. I honestly believe right now they're not after America, they're after the world, and America's in the way. And I think Kennedy started being in the way of this globalist elite. Because at this point, what I see too, which is not different when you look at his monolith speech about this group of people that are, you know, basically functioning above all governments. You brought up the Rockefellers, certainly. They have been since the Fed, if not from the beginning. But what they are doing is they are at this point, I think, and I wonder what you think. I look a lot. I talk a lot about Agenda 2030. I talk a lot about, you know, the 17 development goals. And you look at these things and then you look at who's behind them, who has on them. And you can look at their websites of all these groups and they all have a 2030 agenda. And then if you read it, you're like, oh, well, who's running this thing? You know, how's this globalist governance situation going to go down? And to me, it's what he was talking about very early on, which was that they don't have an allegiance to any nation. They don't have an allegiance to any flag. They don't care how many people die. It is all about containing power in this small class that is not that. Because when people say, oh, it's America or it's China or that, I say, no. It's a group of people above all of them that have a plan. And, you know, to me, that was to me, that to the people like you that looked into us, that's really what Kennedy's legacy was warning us that this was out of control and that we were in danger, serious danger. And I feel like that plan that he warned us about is still alive right now. How do you feel about where he was, what he was warning us about, and where we are right now in terms of that?
Yeah, he was. He was warning us, and he was very concerned about it and ultimately died because he tried to stop it.
Right.
And there's a couple of lessons there. One is you made a great point. It's not about nations. They'll use nations. They'll manipulate nations.
Right.
But it's certainly not about Democrat, Republican. It's not about liberal conservatism either. It's about ultimate power and control. And you're right. It's a bigger, higher level of power that when we think, I think most Americans, I do think most, they look at, oh, you have the Congress, you have the Supreme Court. They look at our structure of government. Right. And when we're taught in school and civics, this is our structure of government. And the president is the president and he's the leader of the free world, and et cetera, et cetera. And I think what we learned from Kennedy, and I think what Kennedy learned the hard way, is that I have power. And I think he thought he had more power than he did, because also realize his family had some power.
Yeah.
And Robert was the attorney general and he was a bulldog. So he was like, I got Bobby on my side here too. We got power. We're two brothers with power. Right. Well, guess two brothers had more power, Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles, right? They had more power. And Kennedy learned that you don't mess with this elitist group, this establishment of people, right? And that included the oil magnets, the George Bushes and the Bush family and the Clint Murchisons and all these very, very powerful people. And I think Kennedy thought that I'm going to do what I can. I can make changes now. I can make some changes because I'm president. And he couldn't. And in the end, he didn't. And Robert also learned the hard way, because when he started gaining momentum in the primary and he won the primary, right? And he was, they weren't going to allow a Kennedy back because they were too popular. The people loved the Kennedys. Even there were a lot of Republicans, or I should say more conservative people, that still liked the Kennedys were likable. Yeah. So they had a lot of the public support of Camelot. It was a continuation of Camelot. And I tell people that I think Kennedy was our last best chance for world peace.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And I think when he was killed, they solidified their power.
Me too. I think 100%.
They solidified it. And then they scared the heck out of any president that's ever been president since to be like, including Lyndon Johnson, right? Oh. To be like, give us our Vietnam War.
Right.
And I tell people this kind of half jokingly. I say that any president, when they do their, it's a transitional meeting. You're elected, you go in, everyone's there behind closed doors. I said, what they do is they show you the Zapruder film and they say, if you don't play by our rules, forget about all your campaign promises. We're in control. And if you have any other thoughts about that, watch the Zapruder film. And I honestly think that some people go in with good intentions.
Right.
And then it's like, oh,
yeah,
I can't do 90% of what I want to do, you know, because these other people and also to you, Mel, you know, this, they want us to fight with each other.
Right.
Right. They want us to, I want to know you as a person. not as a liberal or a conservative, not right. as a Democrat or Republican. All people have a certain decency in them that you could just sit and talk and mm-hmm. you can have your differences, but you can have a civil conversation. We've lost that. So yeah. now it's like, but that's what they want. And I keep telling people when I go on these shows, I'm like, let's try to stop that. Let's try to understand that we're not the enemy of each other, that yeah. we have a common enemy. And it's not even the president. It's not even Congress. It's those guys. Right.
And you lay that out in your book really, really explicitly, that is really what is happening. I mean, your conclusion of your book was that he was not killed by Americans. He was killed by these globalist oligarchs. And that was because they do, you know, we're watching two things go down right now, as I thought from the beginning. Ukraine was destroyed. The stories have changed over time to the point of NATO, the head of NATO, finally admitting that they could have stopped it if they just said that Ukraine couldn't join NATO. But that wasn't the plan since 2014. And the truth of the matter is, you know who wins in Ukraine? The people that rebuild Ukraine and the people that make the money off the weapons and all yeah. of that. And it is something that Kennedy talked about. It's in your book, which was this military industrial complex that is so insidious, because a lot of people don't realize that our weapons manufacturers don't only get hundreds of billions of dollars of our money, they're also traded on the stock market. So the global oligarch billionaires have a vested interest in endless war and endless war making, war machines, creating, selling weapons. And when you look at all of this and you look at the money all over the world, and then you think of what Kennedy was saying, what he was doing, and very dangerous. Do you think Kennedy, from your work, feared that he would be assassinated? Do you think he had any idea that was coming, or at least it was going to be attempted?
That's a great question. I've asked people this. I've tried to get to the bottom of this. There are people that believe and that have told me, I wasn't there, right? So I can't say for sure, but I tell people that. But that there were discussions, especially with Bobby and John,
right,
where they talked about, do you think they'd kill us? Because they knew how the CIA operated, and they knew that they had a modus operandi. They were A+, the best in the world at killing people and assassinating people. They literally subcontracted the mob, which is why people get confused in the whole JFK. Well, the mob did it. Well, the mob probably was involved because they had really good assassins, and they were glad to help because they got screwed by the Kennedys, basically, because they helped them win the election. And then Bobby came after them. So that was a bad move on their part, on the Kennedys' part. But so they were they were doing this all over the world. Right. They were doing it in Africa. They were doing it in Central South America.
Right, regime change.
They were doing it in Vietnam. And so the Kennedys, they were smart guys, very, very smart guys. And they said that there was some talk of what Kennedy believed. John was like, they wouldn't kill me. So ultimately, he believed that as bad as they were, they didn't have the gall to do something like that, especially the way they did it.
Right.
That was a public sacrifice. I mean, that was like a public assassination. That was a psyop. That was a psychological 100%. Operation.
Right.
That wounded
to us.
And it was actually, and I believe that, and I don't know enough about 9/11 to speak about 9/11. I tell people that I don't want to make assumptions, but to me, 9/11 was if it was anything, it was a psyop, because it put us all literally into a state of shock. Like I'll never forget how I felt. And the day, the weeks, and the months following that, I was in shock.
Yeah.
And I think that people, and I talked to my parents, and they say the same thing about Kennedy. My mom was 15, and I was talking to her today, and she's like, I'll never forget it.
Right. Well, what you're saying right now is so important, and I agree with you about both events, because I have a good friend who's one of the only survivors of MK Ultra who was really in the top level of the White House. She was a spy, basically. They had sold to the CIA at 3 years old. And she somehow, but for the grace of God, is she alive? But she says that these events are traumatic, like you're saying. They are mass trauma events to make the public easily susceptible to whatever they're told. At that point, you're on your knees as a entire nation, kind of like the Bezmenov interview with G. Edward Griffin, where he says demoralize, dehumanize, normalize, crisis. This is chaos. And the thing is, while you're in that mode, especially as a nation, and you're susceptible, and you're just save me, just save us, just make the pain go away, let's get back to normal. While you're there, a lot of things happen, like going into Vietnam or like starting the war on terror when they had written the Patriot Act and putting that in to really turn on us. But that was written 2-3 years before 9/11. Then they trot that out and say, and I think our country, the two things I think that were the worst thing, three things that happened to this nation were A, the murder of JFK. Second, I believe that... and also the Fed, but that was before. I'm just talking in our last 50 years, 60 years. The murder of JFK first, but then also the Patriot Act, I think, is the most unconstitutional, disturbing piece of legislation that really took away a lot of our freedom and liberty. And certainly a lot of the spying and everything that's happening now is related to that. And then the other thing that I think is a big problem was the, I don't know if you know the document, the PNAC document, that's Project for New American Century put out this document, Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld, and I'm sure the CIA was involved, Cheney, kind of about America going around the world militarily, basically demanding that the rest of the world do whatever we say. And these different things hurt us in so many ways as a nation. And a lot of these things happened while we were not paying attention, while we were, because I also know, I'm sure you know, but my audience probably knows that Rumsfeld had to admit just before 9/11 that there was like hundreds of millions of dollars at the time missing from the Pentagon. And I believe that a lot of that's black ops, CIA money and things that were going on. So we had so many, it's like while they have these periods of time, they do a lot of things that the American people would never be okay with. I think also the whole Monica Lewinsky trial, there was a lot of stuff going on with China during that time and selling our country to China, nobody's paying attention to. So it's like these psyops after psyops, which brings me to COVID and your thoughts now looking back on what I call the pandemic, but also the COVID operation. Because I believe that that's a mass trauma event too. But this was on a global scale. And your thoughts now, because you are such a student of history, looking back over the last 3 years, what do you see in hindsight that maybe you didn't see while we were going through it? Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, and my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now, and I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends, and I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
Yeah, because when you're going through it, you're just concerned, right? You're seeing all these things. And listen, what I tell people, you know, COVID, okay, let me step back for 1 second.
Yeah.
What you say about Rumsfeld and Cheney They were war profiteers.
Right.
And you're right. Things were being set up beforehand. Because what happened in that election? Bush was elected, but it was kind of an illegitimate election. Like, it was, people were like, it was way too close. He didn't have a mandate. Let's put it that way.
True.
There were a lot of people that are like, you lost, dude. Like, literally.
Half the country.
Yeah, I'm from Florida. I know what it's like here with the Chads and all that. Right. So we were here, right? So, but it was a little bit shady, and it was the Bush family. So, you know, okay. So, but he had no, right? So what galvanizes people? What galvanizes citizens in a country? War.
Yeah.
If we're attacked, Pearl Harbor, right?
Right.
So we're attacked. Now we have Iraq and we have Afghanistan, two wars. Who's making more money than God in those wars?
The those war guys.
Profiteers, right. AKA Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, all those guys.
Right.
So that, and people, and those little things that lead up to it, we're so distracted by other things. We don't realize those things are happening.
Right.
So, let's fast forward to COVID. And in order to fast forward to COVID, you got to go back to this, what was going on the summer of 1963 in New Orleans. And part of the book is all about New Orleans in the summer of 63, because a lot happened there that's very important as it applies to the Kennedy assassination. Right. But one of the things that was happening there was that the CIA, in their using their front organizations and also Tulane University under the auspices of Alton Ochsner, who was a staunch Cold Warrior and CIA guy. He was a doctor. He was a surgeon, a very powerful man. And they were trying to weaponize cancer. At the time, they're trying to weaponize cancer to kill Castro, right? Because they're trying to get rid of these world leaders. And maybe if we do it, that we can put something in his cigar, or we can put something in his food where he gets a fast acting cancer. Think Jack Ruby, you know, that kind of thing. Right. So they're working on this. This is, I interviewed someone for the book that was there for it. Right. Judith Vary Baker. She used with David Ferry, Lee Harvey Oswald on a lower scale. Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't leading the operation, but he was part, he was just a lower level operative.
Right.
All these people were involved in this. And they were also trying to, because when the polio vaccine came out in the 50s, there was a monkey virus in the vaccine, a live monkey virus. And it, and at the time, these female physicians, you need to get into the details, it's in the book. They came out and said, this is unacceptable. It's going to be a problem. You can't put this in the virus. But Jonas Salk and the powers that be pushed it through.
Right.
So all these people got the polio vaccine, and then it came out that this monkey virus was in it. Well, that monkey virus, years later, in the people that, not all the people who took the vaccine, right, soft tissue cancer epidemic that we have seen in people that age, certainly over the last 20, 30 years. And people say, why do cancer rates go up so high? Well, this guy did all this research on this. It's fascinating. But here's the point about COVID. You have this going on in 1963, where the CIA and the government are playing God.
Right.
And they are doing what, you know, and maybe it's part population control, I'm sure, because you can't put anything past the CIA. Okay, because they were doing MK Ultra, all these things were real. MK Ultra is no 100%. Longer conspiracy theory; is a real thing. Horrible, right? Yes.
Evil.
So evil, and so now they're playing God. And to me, yeah, if I want to put my objective thinking cap on, I'm going to say that if I'm a betting man, COVID came from a lab in China, and they were working on this. And, you know, I don't know if they work in cahoots with the US. Maybe it was the elitists that were, I don't know all that. I don't have all that info.
Right.
But COVID was most certainly man-made.
And an attack of some sort. There's no way. I don't understand people that can look at the entire world walking in lockstep. And to me, it's the global billionaire oligarchy. Because I really have looked deeply into Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. It wasn't going the way they hoped. And I think... Trump's election was a shock to these people, and he started dismantling all the global stuff that obviously JFK was also saying, you know, we're not doing that. We're not going that route, that globalist governance route that, you know, I call them the Fourth Reich, but then I get called anti-Semitic for even using that term. Even though if you go look at actually the Third Reich's plans that they didn't even get off the ground, they're very similar to what's happening right now on planet Earth, in my opinion, with this dividing and conquering and it's chaos and one chaotic thing after another nonstop. Right. And you had the Klaus Schwab up there saying right. that we had to prepare for a poly crisis when they were talking about the Build Back Better and the 2 weeks to stop the spread. And you're thinking like poly crisis. And they're like, there's going to be famine. There's going to be wars. There's going to be. Well, oh, really? Well, they knew a lot was going to come down the pike that, you know, at the time we were thinking, what is going on? So to me, I don't put any of this past the CIA. I think that they are. I also believe that Trump was starting to. From what I hear is that Trump was looking at a lot of the things Kennedy was doing before he was murdered. And a lot of those things made a lot of sense to him, and they had never been done. And he was starting to do kind of things like that, like, OK, well, what's this and what's this about? And, you know, talking about the CIA and kind of they should be underneath. They shouldn't be above in their own clandestine little place. And so a lot of these things were threatened. And I think very much Trump also had a similar thing where he thought that when he won and he went in there, that then he was president and that meant something. And I think when he got in there and he realized really quickly that no, that there were people above our government that we're never going to allow most of the things he wanted and certainly not allow him. I mean, just 2 weeks after he got in, George Soros made a speech that they would get rid of him before the end of his first term. Everyone was saying he's not legitimate, the whole propaganda machine, all of that. And regardless of what you think about Trump, Trump also did not like this globalist oligarchy, billionaire class that you know, we're saying, you know, really America's, the whole idea of a nation state is kind of over. I mean, they're saying it out loud during the Great Reset. And so just to me, a lot of this seems like something in a continuation of these major trauma events that are warlike, like you brought up 9/11, warlike, but that really do put the populace in a state of total chaos. Because to me, I think we're in a color revolution. I think I've looked a lot into that and regime change. I really do think that there's just with the border and everything that's going on, everything that happened since COVID, how much changed since COVID? I mean, I think that the same people that you write about, that he warned us about, their new generation, they're not as smart, so they haven't changed the playbook, but it does appear that there's a internal and external enemy right now trying to take down this country. And I don't think enough people are awake. What are your thoughts on where we are in terms of the American populace understanding that there's something very wrong here and it's not just about an election cycle or a man?
Right. The problem is that they are incredibly efficient. They're very good at propaganda and they're very good at mind control. They understand human nature. Listen, when you say that you talk about the Fourth Reich, that's not anti-Semitic to say there's a Fourth Reich. If anything, it's the opposite. Right. All right. Because right. The bottom line is when World War II ended, we, Alan Dulles in particular, okay, helped to get thousands of Nazis, not just Wernher von Braun, not just the you know, the rocket scientists for the space program, war criminals. They helped him get to Argentina. They helped him get to Detroit and Michigan, and they're working on our factories. And they also took a lot of pages out of the Joseph Goebbels playbook, and they understood very, very well how to manipulate and how to the psychology of the human mind. You mentioned all these events. There's something in the book I dedicate an entire section to interviewing psychologists and other academics that or in certain areas, whether it's philosophy, psychology, what have you, social science. And I asked them specific questions, and they kept coming. They kept telling me about like learned helplessness. Learned helplessness is when you're so beaten, like right. You're like, oh, you learn how to be helpless. I'm helpless. Please help me. Right. And a government as parent, right? So government is a father. And it's very hard for us to think that and otherwise. Government is, they protect us. It's our father, right? But in reality, they don't protect us. Yeah. So, but cognitive dissonance. That's where cognitive dissonance comes into play, because we don't want to believe these things. We would sleep better at night. You and I would sleep better at night if we didn't do what we did.
Right, exactly.
I sleep a lot better. I sleep like a baby. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is bliss. I'm good. Right. I'll sit, just watch the Kardashians and drink a beer.
Right, exactly.
And not that I do that. I don't. But
by
like,
design. But that's all by design.
But it's like by design. And they know they're the best at it. They know it. They have it down to a science. That science. They have the human mind down to a science. So what can we do? Right. There are people like us. I have this theory that there's a percentage of the population from a DNA standpoint that can't be brainwashed. And yeah. I actually have a good script on this. Like it would be a good movie. Like,
oh, well, we know 2%, about that offline.
2% of the human population cannot be manipulated, cannot be propagandized.
Right.
Those are all the people that are on their list. They know who these people are, right? Right. Like they know the rebel rousers. They know the rebel rousers. And it's not a question of anarchy. It's a question of fairness. It's a question of democracy. It's a question of freedom. It's a question of, I don't want to be treated like I'm a marionette. Like, I don't want to be like a puppet being pulled by these idiot old white men, right? Who have been, their families have been in power for 700 years, 1,000 years.
Right.
And they're just elitist idiots. And they're sociopaths. They're narcissists, right? They're megalomaniacs. And these are the people that are running the world.
Yeah, I know it. And they've never been held accountable, A, and B, they have no authority. Oh, the other thing that I think, I say this a lot, I think the United Nations is the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on this planet on a grand scale, and it still is. And, you know, they have a lot of plans upcoming, the United Nations. They have this thing coming up, Summit of the Future. And Joe Biden and all his friends, the entire, you know, to me, I look at, and you cover it in your book as well, these Trilateral Commission people, Susan Rice, Blinken, Sullivan, they are anti-borders. You know, they do not, that is part of Brzezinski's whole thing. It's a Hunger Games, like the movie World is kind of what, if you look at their own writings and what they're saying, and then you go and you put into any of these, all the way up to the BIS and the World Bank and the IMF, which are their, I call them the International Banking Cartel, and then this, the multinational stakeholders of all the UN tentacles, and you put in global governance on any one of their websites and you read it, you're like, wait a minute, this is absolutely like Hunger Games is their vision of the future. And I honestly believe that they will get away with this. I do not think that they will, but I do believe that that is a goal. And it's real and scary, because right now what's going on too, and I know you wrote about this a lot because JFK was very aware of the communist threat. We have a situation where China is obviously doing their Belt and Road Initiative all over the world. We're the only nation not involved as far as we know. I'm pretty sure California is owned by the CCP, and certainly Joe Biden. But on top of that, we have a situation where I feel like the American people are standing in the way of this, and our guns and our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And I think the whole us fighting against each other, as you mentioned, is a tactic so that we don't see this. And if they don't see it before 2024, clearly who the enemy is, because like you said, they're so good at making sure we don't see them. But I feel like they will implement a global governance on the next, if Joe Biden, it won't even be Biden, I think probably Obama, Michelle, but whoever it is will be the global governance leader in America. And that's where we are right now. And I wonder what you think of this, because I think that if the American people truly understood what your book is about and what JFK was warning about, and really understood that this is not internal in terms of left, right, Republican, Democrat, black, white, you know, gay, straight. None of it matters to the people that are manipulating all of us, the billionaire globalist oligarchy that has captured this nation. I do feel like if the people got that on a grander scale, and I don't know how that happens, that they would feel righteous indignation and take it personally, that people are trying to end this country and have us be. And because the only end game, if they were successful at taking out America, you and I both know the hell on earth hasn't even begun, because the CCP thinks they're going to run the world after. The Muslim Brotherhood thinks they're going to run the world after. The Davos billionaires think they're going to run the world after. You take away what America is and stands for, we're talking about hell on earth like nobody's ever seen. So there's a real call to action for the American people. And I don't know if they're getting it, that we're all in the same fight. If anyone in America is a victim, everyone is, because what we're losing possibly is freedom. And without freedom, none of this matters. So, you know, what do you think is the next phase? Because I think the next 12 months, these people are going to pull out all the stops to keep power. They cannot let themselves, if they lose power in America, their whole game falls apart, I feel like, between now and 24.
Yeah, it makes you think that there's another war going on behind closed doors. It makes you think that there are people with white hats out there. And I don't know enough to know, not yet, but who those people are, whether it's another organization, whether it's the Knights Templar. Listen, I don't want to get too far astray, but it almost feels like there is resistance. And I'm not talking about from your average American person, but right. there's something stopping them from doing what they want to do. And I don't know, I dare not say what it could be, because I don't know enough about what it could be. It could be metaphysical. It could be extraterrestrial. There's other things it could be. Right. But there was a book written before the social media craze, before all this media nonsense where we don't even know which way is up anymore.
Right.
It was, and I know you know the book. It was called Behold a Pale Horse.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
By Cooper. William Cooper.
Everyone should read that right now.
Everyone. And I just got the chills just mentioning that book. Right. It was one of the first books I read that got into this. And Mel, when I tell you I couldn't sleep, I was terrified, because guess what? It made sense. When I put my objective critical thinking hat on, it made sense. It was like, oh, my God. The Trilateral Commission, the New World Order, the Bush family, this family, the Rockefeller family. He had it all laid out.
I know.
He literally had diagrams laid out of it.
Yeah.
It was so horrifying that I couldn't read all of it through. I had to go back to it years later and read the rest. I was that scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think one thing you mentioned, I think, is so important. And I think it's why we were compelled to do what we do. Right. Whether I'm making documentaries or writing books and you're doing the podcast, you're doing your thing, it's because at some point it insulted your intelligence that these bastards think they could do this to us.
100%. It is exactly why. And I know that's why you do it, because you do make really intense documentaries and you go places that, you know, other people don't. So like when you say, I'm not ready to say that, it's not that you don't do the research. It's that we are at a place where we're in a battle. I believe some people call it biblical. I call it good versus evil. Bill Cooper's book, I have recommended it many times. There's also another book that is their side. I believe it is their side's book that is very telling about the whole plan, which is Tragedy and Hope by Quigley. And in that book, he's laying out basically what this super class, what the plans are. You know, even in, you talk about Rockefeller a lot in your book, Rockefeller said in a speech once, he said, well, obviously a moneyed, elite, educated class is far superior to the autodetermination of men in this nation. And they mean it. They meant it. And I think a lot of things that have happened over this time, and you brought up Trilateral, I did too, but, you know, Council of Foreign Relations, like JFK was talking about some secret societies that people don't know, but some of them are in plain sight. They don't hide it. So, So for me, you know, for people that do what we do, and it's important, I don't think that either of us would have as loud of a voice if they were truly winning, because the whole, it would have been shut down. the people that are getting out there, and I think there are hundreds of millions of people that are very aware of what we're talking about and know about it, but they for whatever reason, I mean, you and I are two people that are like, if it's one in a million, it's probably us. That's not how most people function. You know what I mean? Like,
That's on purpose too, because you think about, they don't teach critical thinking in school anymore. Certainly not in grade school. They don't teach history in grade school. Like the only, you know, you have to go to private school to understand any history. And even that history is sugarcoated. So what's the history? What really is the history? We need to understand our history, the good and the bad, in order to move forward properly. And I say that about the Kennedy assassination. Until we know the truth about that, how could we function? How could we move forward properly? Right. Yeah, so, but they on purpose, when they say, well, a well-educated elite class, well, yeah, because, and they don't, trust me, they don't want the masses to be educated.
No.
When you think about all these regimes where I think about Pol Pot, I think about the killing fields in Cambodia. And that is very telling. What's the first thing they did? They killed all educated people. They had their children, kids kill. Anyone who had soft hands, who wasn't a farmer, I'd be dead. I'm a writer.
Yeah. Same with Mao's China.
I've been white collar my whole life. I would be dead. I would have had a blue bag around my head and I would have been in the killing fields dead. An 8-year-old would have strangled me to death under gunpoint. Okay. They don't want people to be smart or to think for themselves. They want them to work on the pyramids. They want them to work on the railroads. They want them to build their society, the one they want, right? And so they want the masses to just do their bidding. And they don't want too many. So that because now is different than any other time in history, because there's more people on the planet.
Right.
So as we get to that critical mass, which I think of people, there has to be some type of population control program or strategy that they have. And that could be the COVIDs and the AIDS and whatever else they threw out there at us. And it targeted too, like million. Right. So what, you know, so yeah, when they say, well, the elite educate, if we educated all of our children the right way. And what I mean by that is honest education, not just STEM. Okay, where you have robots.
Exactly.
They're all robots.
No.
Everyone's a robot now. Right. They don't know how to communicate with other human beings.
Right.
All right. So, you know, liberal arts, you know, listen, you know, history, right? Political science.
Yeah.
My son recently took, I say they don't teach this, but he goes to FSU. I got to give them credit. He's a senior, well, his junior year, and he's a senior now. He took a critical thinking class. And I almost fell off my chair when I heard he was doing it. I was like, they teach that?
Wow.
And he's like, they teach, and he took it. And I was even more proud of him because he's like us. He gets it. He's like, he wanted to watch JFK, the movie. He doesn't need to be like, he's like, what's going on here?
Right.
You know, he's one of those people.
Right.
But educate, don't have a ignorant citizenship where only 10% of your entire population can think for themselves. And it's not just knowing things, it's being able to think critically.
Yeah.
And not just listen to what you're being told. But what are the Nazis and Pol Pot? They wanted people to just listen to what they were being told and obey.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a true quote or not, but there is a quote by Rothschild that says, we don't want a nation of thinkers. We want a nation of workers. And, or it might've been Rockefeller, one of them. And that is what they want. Now, what's scary now, and I don't know how much you've dug into technocracy and the use of technology and melding technology and AI with us, which, you know, I think that there's a scare element of the AI that's being talked about now. But on the other side, when you think about that, because I believe that their vision does look very similar to the movie Hunger Games, and I'm not even kidding. But I really do think that they, if you listen to Noah Harari, who's like the, you know, the main technocracy guy over there at the World Economic Forum, and he talks and he says, like, humans are hackable. You know, we really don't, there's too many useless, like he's going back to Kissinger's useless eaters talk lately. He's saying, I don't know what we're going to do when we have AI and we have robots doing everything. We're going to have all these unnecessary people. He says this on stage and people clap at Klaus Schwab's events and other events all over the world. He goes and speaks at all the Ivy Leagues. And he says, I guess it's going to be drugs and video games for all these useless people. And you know, and it's like, the man says this, and
wow,
Leonardo DiCaprio and John Kerry and all these people are in the front row clapping, and you're thinking, what are you? And this is why what you're saying is definitely why I do this and why you do what you do is, who do you think you are? Right. I mean, I'm at a point where I mock these people a lot. And I have friends that like Jim Brewer and Jay Dyer, these people, Roseanne, they're just starting to like, be like, these are ridiculous. If we just stop listening to them, you know what I mean? And just stop, they have no authority, And this is, no. goes a lot to what you're saying about the propaganda and the mind control. And we're led to believe, and this also goes back to a lot of the JFK stuff. We're led to believe that the United Nations has somehow been helping developing nations with hundreds of billions of dollars that have flown through there and through the IMF and USAID and all over the world. And none of the nations have developed at all. Basically, they're living in the dark ages, in all over Africa, all over South America, right. all over.
It's corruption. Where does that money really go?
Right. And by design, as long as there's desperate people, there's money to be raised. And you know, and all of this is coming to the surface. You know, it's funny, you said before about the JFK murder. I say that a lot too. I'm writing a book now that's coming out soon called Americans Anonymous. And one of the things one of the parts in there is sick as our secrets is an AA term about, you know, you're only as sick as your secrets. And I say America is as sick as our secrets. And like you said, good and bad, we need to know everything, starting with the truth about JFK, the truth about RFK, the truth about MLK. We need to know the truth about everything, whether you like it or not, because yeah. the problem is, for the first time in history, we can end on this and how, and I hope you'll come back, and how we should be looking at this and dealing with it as American citizens. I have on a lot of foreign journalists and people to get a different perspective. For the first time in American history, and I hope the American people understand this, the PR that was used on us to go into Iraq, to go into Ukraine, to go into all this stuff is being used against us. And I believe it's still the CIA and NED and all these people and the all the crown counterparts over there. For the first time in American history, a lot of the news and a lot of the opinions coming out overseas are about the American people. And it's shifting from being about government or the military to being about the American people. And you know from history, and that's when they get the rest of the world to be like, yeah, go bomb them. They're ruining the world, those Americans. And there's a lot of rhetoric out there right now. And I believe the antidote to that is an active and awake citizenry that shows the rest of the world that it is not us. And that we are not even voting for these people because our elections are totally fraudulent, like all theirs are too. But what are your thoughts on that? Because that's something that I think we really, in both of our work, need to really make sure that people understand that the American people really need to differentiate themselves and take this country back themselves. And I think that's where, you know, we're not over that hump.
No, we're not over that. And, you know, it was interesting. People, this is interesting. When the Kennedy assassination happened, Americans bought into the Warren Commission. They bought into what the mainstream media was telling them. There was no question that, oh, yeah, Oswald did it. He did it alone. In Europe, if you look at the headlines and you look at some of the commentary that was going on after the assassination in Europe, in places like France and Italy and even England, they were like, Americans are naive because right. they had so much history to pull from.
Right.
We're young. We were in 63. We were very naive. This was our loss of innocence. Yeah. Right. I think the Civil War was, but like, it still was very much. We were like these innocent, young, you know,
yeah.
whatever young country in Europe, yeah. with thousands of years of killing each other. Like right. it was a conspiracy, guys. Like they reported it as come on.
Right.
You know,
and that's
so
what's happening
it's,
now, I think.
Right.
That,
so now we have America. But the problem I still think is this. Not enough people are critical thinkers and not yet. And it's not, I don't know if it's getting better. There is a generational component to this.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with, well, the greatest generation, they felt a sense of urgency because they had to go to war and fight the Nazis. And unless you fought in a war, I think there's a complacency because, like, we're the United, we take it for granted our freedoms for a very long time. And they hoping we do that, or at least the illusion of freedoms and freedom. So we just become, I'm going to play Xbox. I'm going to watch a reality TV show. It doesn't matter. Right. So we become complacent. Once we become complacent, we're done.
Right.
Right. They can do whatever they want with us. Fortunately, there's still enough people who are like, whoa, whoa. You know, I'm greatly offended. Think that these people think that they're better than I am. Right. Exactly. That's unacceptable to me.
Right.
So that's what we need more of. But until more people care, that's why one of the reasons I wrote the book, my son's 21. And I wanted everyone to read the book, but I really was hoping young people would read the book.
Me too.
And that's why I try to make it very readable, chapter by chapter. Every chapter is a different interview. You can go in there and read what you want to read. It doesn't have to be a straight read. Right. So my goal was to appeal to younger people to say, care about history, please, please care about history. When the Jay Leno used to go on the streets and everyone thought it was hilarious when they was like, who's the first president? Yeah. Right? No one knew who was the Vietnam War. These young people didn't. It was like they were living in a cave their whole lives.
Right.
I didn't think it was funny. Like people.
I didn't either.
I thought it was insulting. I thought it was horrifying, sad for our country. And of course, you know, with the shows, they have to make it, you know, they use that, but it's not funny. And until we care again, and that takes every one of us, it's going to take that critical mass. I don't know what that number is, but to care and to say, you are no longer going to do awful things to us.
Right.
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 You're not going to live in your $50 million mansion, make as a CEO 500 times more than the guy who's really busting his butt for you. Right. Right. Working, you know, in a 40-hour week. You're not that much better than him exponentially. You're not. In fact, he works harder than you.
Yeah.
I tell people that. They start to get a little bit ego with like, well, I make a lot of money, therefore I must be work harder than other people do. No, you don't. Do you think you work harder than your secretary? Do you think you work harder than a teacher? do you think you work harder than a coal miner?
Right.
Don't let the ego get in the way of trying to do good for humanity. We have to care about humanity again. And now, because we're so divided, we all want to kill each other. So until we get to the point where we actually care about each other again, and we're like, wait, you're human, I'm human.
Yeah.
We might differ politically a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might like Trump. I might not like Trump. Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Right?
If we lose freedom, we all lose. Right.
We all lose.
You know, I think it was Ben Franklin that said we better hang together or we're all going to hang separately. And that's how I feel about America right now. Like, do you not understand that you can march all you want for a ceasefire? I don't know who you're talking to because the powers that be love war, you know, and you can march all you want for LGBTQ+ rights. But the people that you're marching against don't care. You know,
it's just
so much of this, and you and I see it really clearly. I think more and more people are, what I am worried about, and you have a son this age, and so do I, is that there might be a situation where our children will be drafted, or there will be something that happens on this, unfortunately, on our soil because of this installed regime. I call them the old Biden regime. I feel like that's what they want. I mean, that everything says that that's what they want. So we're at a very perilous time, but I do think that, and I'm glad you came on right now, because I do think what you were saying is really important. The history is super important. And I would implore my audience to not only buy Jack's book because it's fascinating, but what he's writing about in that book, we are still fighting. We are still fighting that same people, that same mentality, the same evil. And on top of that, please do get Jack's books for your kids. You can read it in high school, honestly. They should actually have like reading groups. But also, especially if your children are in college, grad school, or that age, doesn't matter if they didn't go to college. Children have not been taught, I don't think, for the last 20 years. And our nation is so young. And Jack, you're as a student of history, they don't realize how young we are and how many empires and nations fell, you know, that we're even more less divided than we are right now. And it's honestly inside and outside, but it is not American. It is a post-America that they want. And that is the stakes right now. So can you tell my audience where to find you, where to find your book? And are you working on anything upcoming? Are we still, there's so much work you did on this project. So that's a lot. You need a little time maybe.
Well, I need a little time on the book end. I am considering a volume two. Great. Because there are enough people that now I know that I can interview that are also incredible interviews that would make a really great follow-up. Same concept. Great. I interview about 20, 24 people, but the message will be there. It's their message, really, more than my message. It's what they're saying. So that could be a future thing that happens, because the book's doing okay, which is good. I'm happy about that.
It's important.
Important. We're working on a couple of possible documentary. You know, we're just have stuff in development. I'm always something. I have an author site. It's called jackrothauthor.com.
Okay, great.
And on there, there's links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the major booksellers. You can get the book there. There's another book I wrote that you can get there. And then also the documentaries you can link to from there. And then Amazon. I tell people Amazon's usually the easiest place to go and get the book.
Well, I'd rather them go to your website first and check it out, because that's what I try to do with everyone. With every candidate I have on, I'm like, don't go to WinRed, go to their website. Don't go to Amazon, go to their website. You can go there after, but at least go give the author a little bit of kudos, because we know Amazon doesn't. I mean, you can buy the book there, but at least go get to know the author a little bit. And we have to develop relationships again with the artists and the writers and all the people, because all the good ones have been silenced and siloed. So it's good to get to know the people that are actually doing the heavy lifting like you are. Thank you so much, Jack Roth. I will have you back again soon. Keep up the awesome work. Please, everyone, go to Jack Roth, author, and definitely get his book. Get it for your children and your adult children who did not learn history either. And maybe we can reach that critical mass before the 2024, whatever's going to happen then happens. I still have hope and faith, and I believe in God. And I think that America is in a unique position to stand in the way for the world. So we'll see what happens. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it, and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter, and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. I
I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. If we feel like we're coming down with something, will double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul, he did not leave us unprepared, and that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z Shield, he's got a kid Z Stack, which is awesome, he's got Z Flu, Z Detox, he's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. This matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me, he supported free speech, he supported medical freedom, he supported personal liberty, and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkshow.com. Go to our partners page. Goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who is dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They mattered to him. They mattered to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious.